drafting up a more detailed narrative of each of the different alternatives.
Well, that's been going on. We've also been developing an evaluation criteria matrix. It's similar to what the one we used at Cougar. It's kind of the same, similar
Cougar
structure.
Cougar, Detroit. Yeah.
Laying out the different evaluation criteria and then the scoring matrix. You know, one means this, a two means that, and so on. So we're
developing. Oh, not the data gaps thing. A different one.
Right. We haven't done the data gaps as yet. We're doing the matrix with the different alternatives and biological and technical, similar to Cooper and Detroit.
Okay, yeah, you guys do that all in-house.
Yeah.
So when we get, we anticipate to get that completed within the next week and a half or so, and we want to provide an informal copy to the dispatches team members for your review and comment back to us. So we're going to hopefully have it out to you soon after August 8th is the date that we're targeting finishing that. So we'll get that out to you the following week, and you'll have a chance to take a look at it and bring any comments to the next team meeting so we can have that discussion if you'd like.
Yeah, so that would be an agenda item for the August meeting. Okay, good. Make sure I capture that. What about how much time do you think you'd want for that, an hour or hour and a half?
An hour, I would think, would be sufficient.
Great.
Where is that next meeting? Do you know the location of the next meeting?
No, we'll have to talk about that today.
Okay, I didn't know what your process was. You had a rotating.
I've been trying to get out ahead and schedule things a couple months ahead, and I was for a couple months, and now I'm now I'm at real time. So as long as we don't fall behind. So
anyway, that's the status of the downstream project. Is there any questions anybody might have?
Great. Thanks, Jim. So a couple other people joined us, Derek McCurdy, Bob Wertheimer. Tammy Mackey's going to be keeping notes, and she's recording as well, just for full disclosure.
Somebody else, I think.
And then I think someone else joined us on the phone.
Yeah, it's Tom Friesen.
Hey, Tom. Great. So moving on, the next two are mine, Cougar and PFSC, because Chris and Sean aren't here yet. So Cougar... as you know, this team's kind of been on hold while we're waiting on the COP process. There are some things that we want to look at to try to wrap up the EDR and narrow down the alternatives to sort of the final alternative that we would pursue in the DDR. So we're getting the band back together. So look for more activity from this team in over the next 6 months. We're hoping to wrap up the EDR and help provide the COP some information from our team. And so the other thing is that Sean had on here is the replacement rate. That's something else we got to coordinate with you guys.
When do you do it? What is this? So, replacement rate for the reach upstream of Cougar.
So what we want to do is use it as a screening mechanism. Whatever doesn't meet replacement, we would like to deprioritize as an alternative. So we have all the modeling now from SLAM and the Fish Benefit Workbook. So if we have an alternative that we're certain is not going to meet replacement, it would be great to deprioritize it to help focus on the alternatives with potential. And so one thing we've got to do, though, is come to agreement as a group on exactly how that would be measured using the model outputs. So is it a you know, replacement every single year? Is it a running mean? Those sorts of things. So we'll have to discuss that further. And we were hoping to talk a little bit about it today, but you know, Rich has been out of the office for the last 2 weeks, so we're going to have to wait till he's back, because we got to do some internal coordination on that as well. That's about it for Cougar. The next one is...
What is this on the iteration optimization loop to target specific alternative? What's that optimization loop?
So one of the things that's been discussed is alternatives that are close to replacement, taking another look at them if there's minor... I think the best example would be an operational alternative that we think is close to replacement. Is there a minor structural fix that we can do where we think that would bump that alternative over replacement? So that's what that means.
Well, it kind of sounds like then you're not really deprioritizing anything. You're looking at what can we get that's at the very bottom of this group that's not getting eliminated from further action, that maybe we could do a few little tweaks so that we could get it to replacement, which we said that's not the goal. I thought we thought replacement was going to be just an easy way to get rid of some alternatives that had no chance of being viable.
Yeah,
and
so
this sort of sounds like, there's something that was almost viable, and maybe if we like spill for another week, we can get it up over that little bump.
Yeah, no, I hear where you're coming from. I think this would be a great agenda item for the August meeting. So why don't I put it as a tentative agenda item for the August meeting, where we could have some more team members from the COP here.
Well, and I would think by then you've got the SLAM results. Maybe you can put those into the table and say, look, here's all the alternatives. Here's where they are.
Yeah.
Anybody got any good ideas for tweaks for this alternative?
Or if there's serious concerns that it's not representing well what we think it would do along those lines. Maybe the model isn't performing the way we think reality performs. Then we can take a look at it then. That's a good point.
So I'm going to add that as an item for discussion at the August meeting.
Okay.
Because it would be great. The PDT really would like to sort of get this definition nailed down and get past as many of these alternatives as we can. So the next update is PFFC. We're going to go over this in detail as a later agenda item. So nothing really to cover right now, but we'll talk about it later in the meeting. And that takes us to Detroit temperature control and downstream fish passage.
That sounds like I'm on. So big update for Detroit temp control right now is, as everybody knows, we had an authority issue, so we stepped back from the DDR. We're not allowed to be out there doing that, so we stepped back to the EDR. But what we did learn during all of our processes are that we have some unknowns out there. And one of them is, do we need to drain the reservoir? Can we build this, do this construction in the wet? Another one is, the COP is looking at this floating surface outlet, which was in our EDR, but we hadn't looked that much at it. So that's another one where we want to provide cost information to support the COP. So, and another one that came out along the way here was the mooring loads. If we did put in a big V-screen collector out there, what those mooring loads would be. So we've issued an AE task order to the same firm that helped us with brainstorming last fall. And we've had one meeting with them, an all-day meeting, where we talked about and brainstormed concepts for this floating surface outlet. So our goal here is to provide those sort of cost information on the floating surface outlet so that the COP can do the cost-benefit analysis. And like I say, some of these other things are maybe go, no-go, as in, does this whole structure need to not be attached to the dam? Because we also have a seismic issue with the dam. So we're just kind of trying to tighten up all the loose ends that we had out there so that we know in the EDR if we're what we can and can't do, and get as tight a cost estimate as we can with doing minimal design that the EDR does.
So this thing about the mooring system, that's for an SWS type, that's for a temperature control
system? That's a mooring system of a big V screen, the floating screen structure out in front of the SWS.
Or an FSS.
And what that really amounts to is if you put that floating V screen out there, you've got it hard fixed. In order for that gravity water to come in, you've got it hard fixed out here to the SWS. But the other end is floating and able to move around. Well, during an earthquake, how much is it going to tear itself up? And whenever we did that analysis before, the analysis of what was done was wind and wave loading and ignored seismic. And we just want to make sure that we don't have a seismic issue when we tie that to that. And it all goes back to making sure we design the SWS, if that's the route we end up going, for the maximum possible loads from a floating screen structure. Have to think about the letters because they're all F something something.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but the other thing that we're looking at is the more you allow that structure to move, the lower the loads are, which is good for the SWS and or the dam. But you've got to get all that water through that thing. So how do you get a conduit, if you will, that connects that V screen to the SWS that allows movement, but yet will pass 5,000 cubic feet per second? So those are the things we're trying to figure out. Can we actually do this? What does it look like? Is it going to be a big cost driver? Is it kind of already covered in our cost estimates? Those kind of things.
So what do you think, what's the time frame on these contracts you're doing?
Well, the contract's been awarded, and I think all their work's supposed to be done before the end of the calendar year. And the COP's, it's going to be just in time to support the COP effort that's going on.
Their report's back to you. I'm just wondering whether we can see what they're coming up with.
Yeah, we don't have any reviews scheduled, but we can add in some reviews here that we don't currently have if we see what's going on, so we can send things out to the Fish Passage team. That's a good point. I got no problem with that.
Okay.
Yeah, let me know if you want me to add it to the August
agenda. I'm not talking. I was thinking we'd send out
October. Oh, send out a package for a review.
Yeah.
Okay. Send out a package, but then we could review it potentially at the meeting.
Yeah,
we could do milestone check reviews.
But I don't know if it'd be August yet, because we have another meeting middle of August. So it likely be September if we had a discussion.
Okay.
But maybe we could get something out sooner than that. I don't know. We'll keep remembering that.
Oh, no, I got it. We'll get it out as soon as we have.
Because the next big review we kind of had penciled out was like an 85% review or something, but I think we had that in March or something, but that was what we did once we found out we had authority issue. We're like, well, I don't know what we're doing, so push it out. But I think we need to move some of that back. So, yeah, cool.
I still have another question.
Sure.
So about this thing that you needed more data for the FSO.
Right.
Which, I don't know why you guys keep calling things start with an FS when, you know, it just makes things so confusing. You could have just kept it
Glory. I can tell you why that was no longer called Glory.
You could have called it something. Anyways, no, that wasn't.
Don't search Glory Hole in a government computer.
I once got, when I worked for the state, I got in trouble because I was looking for something about Hell's Canyon, and hell was a bad word.
Wow.
And it, wouldn't let me get an email from someone with the title was Hell's Canyon.
I got in trouble during the Cougar Adult Trap. They had the webcam for the adult trap construction, and I Googled Cougar webcam.
Weird.
I didn't even think about it. And then as soon as the results, shut it down.
Danger.
Sorry, okay.
Okay, now back to my question. Yeah, okay. So my question is, is this cost information going to be any more than the kind of cost analysis you did for the other screen alternatives collection?
No. When we did the original EDR, mm-hmm. we did enough information to get a reasonable cost on the SWS, on a floating screen, and keep in mind on all those, whether it's a floating surface collector or a floating screen structure. There's other people that have things out there that are similar to that we compare to get cost. Mm-hmm. But floating surface outlet, one, nobody else has that, probably. Two, we only put in, maybe you could draw some small amount of water from the surface and put it through that test conduit. That is all we've got. Mm-hmm. So we want to try to look at what that thing might look like. And just for a preview, one option is you make this thing look like a Morning Glory spillway, only it floats up and down. So you've got pilings, four pilings around this thing that are pretty tall, and this thing floats up and down, and somehow you got to get this pipe that's over to a fixed point that hinges and allows this thing as the forebay goes up and down. That's one alternative. Another alternative is that thing could be just a small diameter SWS in a way, as in it's maybe a 10-foot diameter, whatever it takes to feed the amount of water you need to that test conduit, with one set of telescoping weir gates drawing water off the surface. I'm kind of oversimplifying it, but we'd want it to pass fish and support temperature. But that would be a way to get that water off the surface and down. And there you're talking more rigid structures with a telescoping weir gate. Maybe it's floating, maybe it's controlled by winches. But you don't have this moving pipe that's kind of big and has to slide and telescope together. So those are the only two that we had already thought about. We had zero cost information, zero design work done on it. So we wanted to get a little more information so that we didn't tell the number that Jeff went, it ought to cost about that. Wasn't the only number that the COP team was using, that we had some other basis for that. And, but it's not going to be further than what we had on the other ones. It's just going to bring it up to where the other ones were. So, cool.
Okay.
Anything else on Detroit?
Well, just a quick, just a double check here. And those last two paragraphs you've got, you're going to work with an AE, and then down below you're going to award something to an A/E. Are those the same things?
Same thing. Same thing.
And it means exactly?
Architect engineer firm.
Architect engineer, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Unless there's any other Detroit questions, we'll move on to prototype Lighthead Bypass. We have the 60% review back. I don't know exactly when that was, but we got comments from NIMS. We addressed those, sent that back, and we're working and have been working on our 90% report. And the team is wrapping up all the fine print and that thing as we speak. And we plan to have that out for our internal review and a BPA review probably late next week or early the following. And then it'll probably be latter part of August when we'd have it out for the fish passage team. Just as a kind of a preview, I think everybody already knows, Green Peter looked very promising to collect a lot of data for pressures and velocities. And just yesterday, the high head team met with all the different bios and all the different TLs, which is one, on all the downstream passage teams, and went over what data we could gather from what we're proposing as a test plan, and to make sure we're all in sync there, so we're working that. The other thing I'd point out is, since we can gather a lot of data from Green Peter with high pressures, high velocities, this, that, whatever, we are planning to go from an EDR into a limited design to support an RM&E effort. So we're not planning a DDR, and we're not planning a big plan specs package. Looks like Green Peter with, I'm going to say in my words, what looks like fish release pipes like we've used on the Columbia for spillway testing and all of that. Looks like designs like that, a little bit different than that, but somewhat like that, would get us what we need here. So we're not talking a big complicated design effort. So we would try to keep moving that forward so we get this data as soon as possible. And after that, and we see what data results we get back, then we would see what that tells us, see if we have data gaps still, see if there's anything else, and then we'll reevaluate and see if we need to get something somewhere else.
So the test would be in the spring of 15, you're hoping?
That's the plan.
Right, so you'd now, be able I don't to get have your engineering stuff done before then?
Yeah.
Lining up the pipes or whatever.
Right, yeah. The plan is between now and next spring, early next spring, we'll have the engineering done, the contract for the researchers and all that done. So our plan is to do the test next June when the pool is at the highest, because next summer, later on in the summer, they'll lower it a little bit for spillway gate repairs. We want to do the test when we have the maximum pool. And so our plan right now is next June.
And that was a study concept in the RME, right?
It's
not an RME, it's a part of the PDT, but it's an RME type study, but it's not coming from the RME proposal pack yet.
You guys had your meetings to talk about what you wanted to study, but are we going to see a proposal? What's actually going to be?
Well, this is not going to be part of the RME proposal packet. This is going to come later on, because this is going to be a study that we're doing for the PDT is doing. And when we contact the research group who will do the study, yeah, we'll get a study design from them that we could share with you. But again, reminder, it's not part of the RME. We're calling it an RME study for simplicity, but it's not.
Why is it not part? I mean, I understand the engineering part, but if you're actually trying to figure out fish survival through a pipe, and where you put the fish in and where you take them out and how you
handle them is all an RME
function.
It is, but it's just how the funding is coming.
Right.
The funding for this study is coming from the PDT. Not the RME funding.
Right. It shouldn't matter.
It's all CRA.
So hold on, guys. Hold on. So is the kind of information that she's asking for going to be in the 90%?
The study
not
plan.
The engineering thing. No. And that's different. I mean, I understand. You're doing the engineering.
The 90% package is going to show concepts of how you put the fish in the pipes. It's not going to have details.
So that would be the engineering part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to lay out what different test plan we would have, as in we're going to have pressurized this, we're going to have open flow, we're going to have whatever, like we talked about yesterday. It's going to give enough information there. I don't know if it's going to go into details about sizes of fish and sensor fish and all that, but I think that the big difference here is, and maybe we still need to work this out, but the hi-hat bypass team was provided separate funding from the RM&E funding, and our charter was to go and figure out ways that the other PDTs could perform and design in the future hi-hat volitional passage. So we had penciled out doing a DVR next year, because we didn't know when we started this, we didn't know where we were going to end up, what we're going to do, how big the magnitude might be. Now that we've gotten to this point and we see what Green Peter has to offer for little upfront construction dollars, it seems logical to go there and take advantage of that situation. So the PDT, the Hi-Hat Bypass PDT, has funding, currently not enough to cover all the RM&E activity. So we internally, I think, need to decide, and I've already raised this funding shortfall to Ian, program manager. So we need to figure out if it's going to be funded under the hi-hat bypass team totally, or if it's going to be considered part of RM&E. So I think that's an action for us internally to do.
Okay.
And then it depends if it's an RM&E, if it gets weighed against all the other RM&E, or if it's a separate hi-hat bypass team.
Well,
it doesn't have to be.
Some history on this. There was a concept paper back in fiscal year 13, but the scope of the engineering involved was beyond our normal research contractors, which is why we formed the PDT. So now that the design's catching up, you guys are anticipating it's pretty straightforward direct mortality sensor fish study, right?
Yeah. It's
very similar to what we've done at Foster and the Green Peter.
I think we're going to push really hard to see delayed effects as well to this kind of passage. What those effects would be, not just a immediate best case scenario that would happen with sensor fish and with balloon tag studies.
So your point is that NIMS would like, and I imagine the rest of the region would too, would like input on the study design, right?
Yeah, we're actually making some comments on the responses as well right now, and we'll just add this and explain ourselves some more.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we do want to review the study plan.
Absolutely. That's what I was saying, but it's not going to be routed with the current RME FY15 proposal packet, because this is not going to be occurring until in the fall. It's not in this cycle that we're routing right now. That was what I was trying to. But absolutely, we will share, once we get a study plan and design in place, we will share that with the region for comment.
But, I mean, it seems like before you even get the study plan written, you should talk to us the way that we try to do at the RME team about, hey, what kind of study do you guys think would be a good study? What methods do you want to use?
Well, unlike balloon tags, which show the very best case scenario that would happen for survival for fish, it's a very optimistic view. And So.
If I'm not mistaken, none of the fish are actually balloon tagged.
Right, we wouldn't be using balloon tag because we're going to be collecting them at the evaluator instead of in the river.
Okay.
So we wouldn't need them to float up
and
retrieve
them.
Okay,
but still, the point is valid. Do you understand?
Yeah, I do understand your
point. You don't gauge any delayed effects.
Right.
How long would you have to hold them to get that delayed effect?
You don't hold them. You let them pass the river and you gauge their survival through radio tags down the river to see, are they more susceptible to predation? Do they die because they can't?
Well, it's complicated because if you use an active tag, then you have tagging effects. And, right. And we know that tag burden can affect passage rate survival.
This proposal quickly went to a place that's so far away from criteria. I don't think it's going to be a simple one type of study that's going to change the effect.
That's what Jeff said. I mean, after the test, you review the data and see what other information needs there.
Yeah, the green feeder test is a start of it.
It's a start.
And we'll get some answers. Maybe we'll get all the answers. Maybe we won't. But it'll inform what the next steps are. And, you know, do we need to go to a different study? Do we need to do something different? Or have we solved the world's problems? We don't know.
Are you in the engineering, though, when you're looking at alternatives? I mean, I think what you're really focusing on is, you know, high head bypass that, you know, instead of something like, you know, taking them from Detroit and having a, it's still a high head, but a lower slope pipe that gets them to below Big Cliff. I mean, it seems like in your engineering comparison, you kind of look at what's the cost of that versus transport versus putting them through a pipe and then having them go through Big Cliff. Do you have to then spill at Big Cliff? What do you have to do at Big
Cliff?
Right.
Well, at Detroit, we did look at cost of constructing a pipe that would have a gentle slope, if you will. I mean, we've got, going back to North Fork Clackamas, we've got one disadvantage that they have as an advantage, and that is their pool elevation stays within a few feet of the same all the time. And there's another one, and that is that they've got three dams that make up that same head that we've got at one dam. So for them to have
you've got the road grade there, so there's some positives too.
Yeah, but we got Detroit Dam that's 300 and some feet tall by itself. So I'm just envisioning how do you get that one pipe to go skim off the surface, stick through the dam somewhere magically, be able to go up and down through the dam, and have a nice gentle slope that goes all the way down wherever. And it ends up being a very long, very long, long, costly pipe, which then the problem I think the bios were having is that tends to lead us towards, okay, let's just truck them and trap them and truck them. We're trying to see if there's a way to get away from that. Well, Detroit has this lovely hole in the dam that nobody's using. Unfortunately, it's way down low. So we're trying to figure out, is there a way we can get fish volitionally once we gather them up, however it is we gather them up, through that hole in the dam so that we, and like I say, it's I think 200 feet down or something, I forget the numbers, but it's quite a ways down there. That's what we're trying to gather up. What would be the design parameters for pressures and velocities that we could maybe design to so we could put them through something like that? And this is the first step that, that Green Peter provides us a test lab. And, you know, if right now it's got a hole through the dam, I mean, it's 30 feet down, 60 feet down, 90 feet, 120 feet, something like that. So if we put fish in, for instance, and we pass them through, and they survive at 60 but don't survive at 90 and 120, well, okay, we know that's kind of where the max pressure is, the max feet ahead they can withstand. I don't know what the real results will be, but right now it's more than we've got now, and it could help drive the cost down so that it makes the volitional more attractive.
I guess the concern, too, that we have in the background, and, you know, just because of our approach to these kinds of questions, we're always trying to look at what other ancillary effects could be happening to fish. And especially at Detroit Big Cliff, part of the concern that we have is you have not only do you have passage and what immediately happens there, but you also have, you know, the effects of a reach plus another passage through another structure.
Right.
And so those concerns are important to us. And we don't want to study things just in isolation, like, you know, can we, at the very lowest cost, dump fish through the dam as quickly as possible, and so we kill 40% of them. Well, that's a huge chunk of fish to be taking off the top in the situation like that.
There's no doubt there'll be more that need to be figured out as, and can they volitionally pass through the cliff, or do we need to have a pipe that's the nice shift of slope once we get through the hole in the dam we got at Detroit A?
Yeah. And as a reminder, our team, this is a kind of special PET because we're working on informing some kind of a design. Mm-hmm. But we're also working in tandem with the other PDTs for the other high-head projects. So we're not going to, you know, design a system for a particular dam. We're going to get some, hopefully get some answers, what can fish withstand, how deep can they go, pressurized, non-pressurized, and so on. But we'll work with the other teams and say, well, hey, this is what we found. Now how do we get them the rest of the way, and so on.
Yeah.
And I say that very loosely, but that's how we're working in tandem with the other teams.
I think we were preparing responses to the responses you just came.
But I think the important thing is getting a system that works for everybody, right? Because
we're trying to get the design parameters for a system work for everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're not designing a system. We're just trying to get some parameters to inform.
Why did you call it a prototype? I'm just curious.
Because it's a prototype. We're not building a system. We're not designing
it. It's sort of like a laboratory test.
It is a laboratory test.
Yeah.
It's just a field laboratory test. But yeah, we're not designing a particular system.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that
it's not a production model.
No, right. It's a prototype.
No, but I'm concerned about the use of the word prototype too.
We're not. What we're doing right now is not going to be a permanent deal anywhere. It's going to be taken out. It's temporary pipes we're putting in to pass these fish. And, you know, an example, I hope, anyway, an example would be that if we get data that helps inform this design at Green Peter, one option could be that we go to Detroit, which has that hole through the dam that's much lower, and we use those design parameters to come up with something that we could test something specific through the Detroit that has the hole. Cougar's a little harder because there's no hole we can use that I know of. But Detroit would be the perfect test case to then take this data to and see, can we design something that passes those fish? So, you know, if they won't even survive the direct effects, there's no point in going any further. But anyway.
Yeah, okay. Having group buy-off on those study plans, I think, is huge.
Okay. Absolutely, and we will share that with you and work with the team. I just wanted the team to be aware that it's not... This study plan would be circulating with the RME proposal.
All right.
The timing is off. But you'll see the 90%, which, as Jeff said, will be coming out in August.
Okay.
That'll have some more engineering and a little bit of the biology part of the test. And then when we get the actual study plan or start working on it, maybe I'll ask Griff to put a discussion point in our August or September FPT agenda to talk about it.
August agenda?
Well, the report won't go out until August, and so we'd like to give the
But it might be pretty good timing that it might go out shortly before.
Right, and then we can discuss.
The August fish passage committee, maybe we could have, yeah. The other thing I go back to is that the 60% report, we purposely, not trying to hide anything, but we purposely sent out just our spreadsheet that showed how we got to the analysis so we weren't bogging everybody down, plus... We hadn't written a whole bunch up. We were trying to show how we analyzed where we got to. So a lot of the questions you might have might be clearer on the 90%. I don't know.
Yeah, we're hoping for that.
I'm hoping that too. But in any case, that's the update on the
iPad. All right.
Thanks, Jeff.
Can you move on to something else? I got a little more.
How about Middle Fork?
Yeah, Middle Fork. Okay.
I got a question to start with. What is?
You didn't even let him give his update. Maybe he answers it with his update, Stephanie.
What's the term? Term temperature control.
It should be temp.
Term temp.
That's supposed to be turn. We're gonna.
Okay. I thought it was like.
We're gonna do sweater vests for Arctic turns.
Turn. Are there Caspian turns up there?
No,
we're
not. Not yet. We're gonna put them
up. I've seen.
I'm putting coyotes on that island. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, fire away.
I suspect that I copied it from Detroit, which was Detroit long term. So it either has the word long in it or term goes away altogether. Sorry. So we have a plan to have a 30% EDR that's going to come out. I wrote that as August whenever I wrote this a couple weeks ago. But I think till it gets through all the internal reviews actually gets generated and through the internal reviews. You might not see it on the fish passage team level until September, but we are trying our best to get a 30% EDR out there. I guess the biggest note here was that last Thursday, I think it was, July 24th, we had a Middle Fork water temperature targets meeting, and there was a lot of discussion there. One unfortunate thing, I think, was there was nobody there from NIMS. There
yes.
was a person assigned, but I...
There was a person assigned, and he's missing in action still.
Oh. So, okay. It's all right.
Didn't you see him on the news?
He ran off with him.
Yeah,
no, wait a minute. That's a teaser. You got to explain.
Maybe that's where
why
they are.
Come on, send it to
no,
us.
No, we're trying to shift focus a little bit from that. We're trying to still figure things out.
Okay.
I think he's on vacation, but his supervisor's on vacation, and nobody else has access, and he doesn't do his calendar, and
we didn't
he didn't
like it,
sign
he
out,
there.
So I don't, you know, I assume
we
that he's on approved vacation, but he didn't let any of us
and we,
know.
Just so you know, we changed the date several times for both Jeff Ziller and Rich. We played musical dates just to accommodate them. Jeff did call in.
Well, but see, Rich never did the second. There was one doodle poll, and he'd done it, and then you guys added more dates, and he didn't do that doodle poll. So I don't think he ever committed. And so I think you guys assumed he could make it, and he didn't. But I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy.
No,
I was gonna ream his butt in an email, but I decided not to because I don't know. Maybe like he went to go visit his dad, and everybody's got a sick dad. So.
Anyway.
Who knows? I'll wait and see what how he feels when he gets back.
Not Stephanie's lack of reminding. Not Stephanie's lack of appointing someone. She's not a supervisor.
Well, we're not here to assign blame. So what do we need to do?
At all.
And he doesn't pull out the calendar
so
word.
We were just saying that.
You were there, right?
You guys should call us.
How'd it go?
I think it was a good session.
Better than this discussion is going right now.
Fish and Wildlife was there.
Good.
And
so I think that it was a good session. I think there will probably have to be a couple more follow-on sessions. That
okay.
But we got the starting point set.
Yeah, and if I could add some real quick before we move on, because we're sucking up time. One of the charges that came out of that meeting is that we need to get some input from the agencies on some temperature targets, because one thing we realize is trying to balance upstream reservoir temperature and downstream temperature, somewhere we're going to have to give and take. And Mike, chime in if I'm missing something, but one of our charges of that was to contact the region and get some input, and I'll send out an email soon with what we'd like, but who should I send to at NIMS?
Well, we told you.
But if Rich isn't there, that's going to hold up
copy
the show.
Stephanie
I can
on
call
it.
The supervisor who will be back.
I don't know who that is.
And he'll be in the office next week.
Keith. K-I-R-K.
Mm-hmm.
E-N.
I think the thing that Fenton didn't mention is that I think Catherine was wanting to try to schedule a meeting for like the week of August.
Yeah, so
something
I was going to get to
and
that.
And get this feedback by that time. So
we'd love to have him at that.
Yeah, our follow-up
meeting.
So
late August, is that when you're thinking? Or
I thought we were going to think earlier, but we'll do the doodle poll again. And,
okay. Yeah, include
because
me
we did have a productive
poll.
Meeting, and there was some good input, but, you know, as with any workshop, it'll take some time to find all the details.
Dexter.
You're trying to move on. Huh?
Yeah, well, we've got 2 minutes to
okay.
cover the rest of the
well,
facility.
Dexter Fish Facility, we're wrapping it up. We're shelving that at 90% plans and specs, and the team's working to get comments back checked from the in-house comments. And we've got to send back comments to the Fish Passage team. We're trying to update the DDR to give us some breadcrumbs of a roadmap for whoever picks us up in the future.
Okay.
And we'll shut up.
So this one, is this going to be the last written update, or maybe next month? Be kind of until it's then it's shelved. We probably wouldn't have.
Once we send back whatever Fish Passage Team comments were, I know there were NIMS comments. I don't know if there were ODFW comments.
No, there weren't.
No. Yeah. So I think we should keep updating until we get those comments in back.
Okay.
And Leon's your bio when you're working through them.
Okay, Foster. Well, Chris isn't here, so we're working on the punch list items, and then there's going to be a follow-on. So whenever we construct a facility, we do sort of a final inspection where we look for deficiencies and make a list of deficiencies, and the slang term for that is a punch list for the contractor. And so some of those will be contract deficiencies that the contractor needs to adjust. Some will be very small mods that can be done through, like, skill craft hours if we have any of those left over. A lot of times, like, especially, like, electrical stuff, you know, things aren't labeled right, those sorts of things. There is plans for a follow-on contract, and so the big items are addressing the issue with the side entrance AWS valve, providing access to the upper ladder, and better access and visibility to the pre-sort. Those are the big fish ones that come to mind. I think there might be some other electrical or mechanical stuff that doesn't have direct bearing on the fish. I'm not way down in the details on this just yet. There are some fish holding in the tail race. I left a voicemail for Ed. I'm trying to get in touch with him. I've been working with Brett, trying different flows, and now we're investigating a potential difference in temperatures between the ladder entrance, the tail race, and the spillway. So stay tuned on that. We'll get back to you guys on that. But I'm hoping I can touch base with Ed. I know he's out of town right now. He's like in Mississippi or something.
No, he was there this morning.
Oh, he was there this morning? Okay.
He's just not answering your calls.
Yeah. That could be, too.
To add to that, we did do a little experiment to see if the flow over the weir, because we're operating the weir this summer, is attracting the fish there. And it is, and we closed the weir for several days, and the fish still mauled around.
Yeah, we got some
Chinooks
in the ladder, but not all of them. So we're looking at ways of clearing out the tail rays.
And it's still, I mean, it looks like it used to look. There's still a lot of fish, or just some fish?
I don't think there's as many, but we should ask Brett so. That. I think it's pretty qualitative too. Mm-hmm. We definitely saw a big concentration of them at the spill weir.
Are they still only sorting the fish like a couple days a week or something?
Yeah.
Did they try doing it more frequently and see if that does anything?
That's one alternative we could look at. I think it goes back kind of to our site visit down there as the Foster downstream passage PDT moves forward, we need to make sure that it's coordinating with the adult trap too and finding solutions that don't compete with each other.
And you have temperature readings.
Yeah, so we're putting those together now, looking at those.
That'd be interesting. We found a 9-day delay at the North Fork, the entrance.
Uh-huh.
Because of temperature?
Yeah.
And they were able to address that?
Yeah, it's just there's a cold water. Yeah.
Okay. So, don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves on that one.
Quick question.
Yeah.
The contract end date is August 31. You talked about a punch list, so are things going to be done by August 31, or if not?
That's the goal. It would be August 31st, but it might be by the end of the FY.
Okay, so if it's not done by August 31st, it will get done?
Yeah.
The follow-up.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just doesn't end at August 31st.
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah, so we don't, I think they withhold final payment until the punch list items are addressed.
Yes.
Good. Minto, so the follow-on mods are ongoing. We're looking to complete mod 2 by the end of the calendar year. We haven't awarded mod 3 yet, so stay tuned for that.
What's mod 3 for?
The big items are, I think it's some work with the return to anesthetic hopper. I can't remember the other things. I don't know the details. So that'll be awarded in 15. Another thing with Minto is based off of the update at the hatchery management team, it does look like there's a lot of fish right now in the reach between Upper Bennett and Minto, so we're investigating that. We've got data calls out to U of I and ODFW to try to locate those. And also asking the facility manager to monitor the tail race. CVC's a lot of fish in there, and see if we can identify if fish are holding outside the entrance or if they're further downstream. So it does look like we're collecting fish at a lower rate than we did last year.
And you've talked to Cottle's group? Are they...
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't they be able to tell whether the fish are hanging out the tail race, the tagged fish at least?
Yeah, I got a brief email from them. It looks like I didn't get exact numbers from them, but they're saying most of the fish are up by Pack Saddle and Minto in the tail race or in the facility itself.
Probably a list somewhere.
Oh, and another Fish and Wildlife Service reminded me another important update from Minto is the facility manager spotted a couple lamprey at the top of the ladder trying to get into the pre-sort. So right now our operations biologists are working with ODFW and they should be coordinating with Fish and Wildlife Service. So I will double check and make sure because there's some questions on disposition. Whether we just transport them upstream or put them back in the tail race.
Okay. What I was going to ask, is there a list somewhere that just bulletizes
the mods?
The mods. And
yeah, I can get that for you.
What's supposed to be done and when and so forth?
Yeah.
And the upcoming mods.
Absolutely.
If I can't think of anything.
Yeah. When you say you're working with ODFW, you're talking Greg or...
Greg, yeah, and I know Elise Kelly's aware, too. Greg notified her the same email he sent me. So Chris Walker's going to be our lead on lamprey at Minto.
That's nice to see because over at Bonneville Dam with their new structure, in the first year they weren't seeing any lamprey using it, then it really went to the next year and they concluded it was just... It needed a year for the smells of the
patina.
Yeah. to go away and really
the core needs to buy the material a year ahead from the river and come back and haul it out.
Rub some lamprey.
Yeah, rub it.
I'll let you write the NEPA on that one. Okay, Fall Creek. Not my facility.
Probably me.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a new tech lead on Fall Creek as it's entering plans and specs. So those of you that don't know Derek, you're in civil.
Yep, I'm in civil. I've worked on Foster and Minto and all the other ones. I'm a technical lead on Fall Creek.
Was it Natalie? What
happened to that? She's PM. The PM.
Oh. Yeah, so she couldn't be here today, so I'm sort of subbing for her, I guess. Okay. So we finished the DDR, the design document report. It's essentially Cougar without pumps, kind of the shorthand for Fall Creek is. We are, due to strange funding things I don't quite understand, we've split the project into two contracts. So we have a water supply contract. It's like about a $3 million thing that we're going to award next FY to bring water from the Four Bay to the fish facility. And then in the following FY, which would be 16, we're going to the fish facility itself. So 30% plans and specs for the water supply should be coming out in August. So that will be sending that to you guys.
Good. So is that something that needs regional review? I'm sort of asking the larger room. Okay.
Yeah.
That's essentially it.
I had a question on the update. The very last bullet says that, talking about the entrainment study, said that Corps is moving forward on design without screen intakes and continue monitoring. This is a question for you. Have you guys concurred on that approach?
No, I just sent something back to Dave Lenhart today.
Okay.
And I think, I can't remember who it was in your office, sent us a slopes waiver request or whatever it's called, fish pass.
Like Chris Leitner?
Yeah, maybe it was Chris. So I think what I told Dave was that we needed him to put it more in sort of the proposal of here's what we found, here's the proportion of fish passing that were entrained. And because we'd had a number of meetings ahead of time about how we were going to try to evaluate this, and the last report we reviewed wasn't really a final report.
Right.
And we'd made some comments on it, and, you know, I think to sort of jump from there, because I know you guys are wanting to get the environmental review all done for it. So do you guys need them to go through some process to get a waiver on screening for you?
Probably. I could check. I don't know the answer.
Our management would say no.
Yeah. Their management would say no.
Just... I mean, no surprise there. So I guess, Stephanie, a question for you is, until you and Dave work this stuff out, mm-hmm. do these guys need to slam on the brakes, or can they keep moving forward with the design of the...
keep moving forward. I don't think we're that, you know...
That far apart?
No.
One question I had is, do we know if there's going to be other issues? I don't know if Jeff knows yet, or if he's looked at it. If there's going to be other things that won't meet criteria, because the slopes piece that you're using is a fish passage restoration piece, which uh-huh. says if you don't meet our criteria, then it doesn't work.
Okay.
And
I think the whole rest of the facility is I know, like,
standard.
AWS is to criteria, yeah.
Okay.
But that's a good question. So other than screens... What else isn't to criteria?
I'm just trying to cover for Jeff right now, because we kind of...
Yeah.
I reviewed the study, but it really... We have
Jeff
that division of who's working on upstream and who's working on downstream.
Okay, so some more formal coordination is needed. I guess I'll just try to capture it more generally in the notes here that you and Lenhart kind of need to work out the final coordination on it.
Mm-hmm.
Documentation. Okay.
Well, what I'm hearing is you need the final reports, right? We need the reports finalized, clean copies that are comparable year to year.
I don't think the report, I don't know if the report's going to get finalized, because this report came out and what we were told was, but we're going to keep monitoring anyways, so... You know, but we want to make a decision now before we get all the final data. So I'm like, okay, fine. But with the data that you've got, you need to put it into it doesn't have to be a final report. It's the letter that would come saying, okay, based on this report, here's our calculation of what the entrainment rate is. We don't think this is very high. Do you agree, NIMS? We're going to send this through slopes.
Okay.
You can ask Dave. He'll tell you I was really clear.
Good. That brings us to the first agenda item.
Told you it wasn't going to go
well, the
fast.
First agenda item other than the PDT update. So back on July 7th, the... PFFC PDT, as well as the Willamette fish biologists, gave an update to core management, what we call an in-progress review. And so I wanted to share the results of that with you guys. So I basically just pirated a bunch of slides from that presentation. I wasn't present at it. And so basically what we want to do is get you guys up to speed on the operations, discuss some of the factors we think are affecting our ability to collect fish, and then what we're planning to do moving forward. So we began in late May, much later than we'd hoped. We originally hoped to start working the bugs out of the system in November and December and have the facility online in January prior to releasing the tag fish. But due to a whole variety of reasons, the facility didn't really officially come online until the 28th. There were some already, even before it was in the water, we knew we were going to have some work to do once it was in the water. And so a lot of those interim measures were implemented by the Valley staff. I'll go into more detail on those. The trap catch is lower than expected. I'll give you guys the numbers on that up through July 1st. And then what additional remedies we're investigating. And then one thing I want to discuss today is the path forward, looking at the fall study. We already had a study proposal from USGS, but we're considering modifying that given the performance issues with the facility. So some of the interim measures, way back to September of last year, we identified some issues with the design of the fish handling equipment. The contractor's proposal to remedy those issues was unacceptable, so we pulled them out of the final construction and decided to go with interim fixes by the Valley staff. In particular, that one I'm talking about is this flume. And so the guys did a good job, even though it's built out of plywood not duct tape. It's better than that. But it actually is doing a pretty good job of fish safety-wise, getting fish from this ramp and weir, which I'll talk about next, into the hopper directly. So originally the plan was to drop the fish into this well and crowd them into the hopper, and that just was not going to work. So in a sense, this is kind of a secondary dewatering screen. So another issue was the trim of the vessel was too low, and so we had too much bypass flow coming into the fish holding area, and that was causing mortality. So in order to limit the bypass flow, the Valley has constructed the ramp and weir that you see here, essentially bringing up the floor of the throat so that there's less cross-sectional area.
Can you back up just for
a minute? Yeah, absolutely.
And I apologize.
No problem.
Disoriented.
So the
fish are moving up from the bottom on this photo?
Mm-hmm. Fish are moving from the top to the bottom.
Top to the bottom.
I'm sorry, check in on the phone. Are you guys seeing this on the web meeting?
They gave up.
Anyone?
Is anyone on the phone?
Yeah, I'm still here. I don't have the web meeting up, so stand by.
Oh, okay. No problem.
So, Griff, so I think maybe the question is, where is top and where is bottom?
Yeah, so let me try to pull this cursor up here. So the V-screen is kind of off of the picture here.
Oh, okay.
And so this is all the bypass flow enters this structure. We call it the throat. And there's two panels here on the sides that are the constrictor plates. That was supposed to control the amount of flow going into the fish holding area down here. And even with those at their narrowest setting, we were getting over 14 CFS in there. And we did some tests where we put fish into that area and left them overnight, and they got pretty chewed up overnight. So we knew that we had to reduce flow there. The original design, this thing was supposed to be much higher in the water, and we would be able to adjust flow by adding ballast. Because it sits so low in the water, we can't get it any higher. We had to bring the floor up with this set of boards here. If that makes sense. So the good news is we have been able to reduce the flow into the fish holding area, and the fish that we do collect overall are in pretty good shape. There was, like when you guys did your site visit, there's some fish getting out around the hopper. They haven't seen any more fish around that, but we haven't collected very many, so that's something we're continuing to monitor. And there is some follow-on work that we'll use to address that further. So here's the catch numbers. Yeah, question?
One of the things that I would really like to see you do, too, is to seal up those panels like we talked about. I'm concerned about that, too. Like, it's just something on the list.
Okay.
Punch list.
Yeah.
So the catch numbers... And this is from the 28th of May through 1st of July. When we put it in the water, we started catching fry right away, but we were pretty concerned because we weren't getting very many of the yearling fish. And I don't have it broken out by treatment here, but the catch rates were pretty similar between the two treatments, which we'll talk about more later. But basically, pretty low catch rates, so that was concerning. So we asked USGS to look into some of their data. And a quick summary of that is on any given day, there was usually more than 100 of the JSATs tags in the cul-de-sac. And I think we've only collected one to date. And sorry, you know, this only goes to 1st of July, and I'll tell you that the numbers haven't gotten any higher. Okay, and there's some reasons with the conditions in the reservoir we think that that is, in combination with some of the other issues I'm going to talk about.
So, excuse me.
Yes.
When it says the bull trout were in the screen, how about them?
Yeah. So they were actually, they were actually inside of the screen structure, and then when the guys would poke their heads over to check, that they kind of dart out of there. I think they also saw them hanging out under the debris boom at times. So, basically, we knew with the JSATs data that there's fish around. We weren't collecting any of them. Similar story with the Pittac fish. And in fact, some of the fish that we did detect on the Pittac detector, we didn't actually collect. So we knew that fish were swimming back in. And the Pittac antenna, for those of you that aren't familiar with the facilities, is at the end of the screen section right before that weir. So they were pretty far into the facility, got detected on the Pittac antenna, and then swam back out.
So there was more than one that bullet says detected within screen section?
Yeah, I think
there were others that were, you knew they were there, but they never went all the way in.
Yeah, I think I don't know the exact numbers, but I think we've only collected one or two Pittac fish. So also had some information from the Didsons. So the PFFC is off to the left side of the screen here, and these fish are basically swimming kind of right in front of the V screen and, you know, swimming away from it. So those are fish we know were right in front of the screen. So again, more evidence that fish are in the immediate area, just not getting collected.
Could you play that again? So that's
absolutely.
Entrance right there on the left?
Let me go back. So it kind of disappears because of the video.
Oh, I see.
But and Noah's here, so he can tell you this thing's mounted where the fan of the camera is like almost brushing the entrance of the thing. So these fish are literally within feet of the entrance. And then just got some more data from USGS with the 3D position estimates. So the white dashed line here is the outline of the PFFC, and then all the black dots are position estimates. This is a really rough initial look at the data. None of it's been screened. For example, if you looked at three tags that were right under the PFFC, they're sitting on the bottom, and so that can sort of give you the, you know, it looks like there's a bunch of tags there, but all these hits are just from three tags that aren't moving very much, if at all, right? So we still have to go through a lot of the data screening, but again, what we're seeing is...
what were the other colors there? Are those depths or something?
This is the, I think,
red to blue.
The number of tags in that area over the period that they looked. And there's a third dimension that you can't see with all the black dots on here, where it's the I believe the mean residency time for these different cells. You guys divide up the area into 10 by 10 cells, right? And so what we're seeing right now is the distribution of fish within the cul-de-sac is similar to what we've seen in the studies without the PFFC.
Is that with that rainbow chart down there?
Yeah.
So that's the total number of fish in a given area?
Yep. Okay. Yep, so more than 200.
Yeah, so that
yeah, unique tags.
That's correct. When they go through that cell once,
so almost everybody's been in the cul-de-sac almost everywhere. And so looking into things, our primary concerns right now, almost listed in priority order here, but also there's some interrelation between them. One is the position and orientation, and we'll get into more detail on these in a second. The other is we're seeing some issues with the hydraulics in the screen section. And then also seasonal and biological effects based off of what we know fish do in cougar when the PFSE isn't there. A vibration issue, and then kind of tertiary is electrical field, but that's kind of the least of our suspicions. Mostly we're focusing on the hydraulics and the position.
Have you thought at all about the fact that it is such a bright and shiny structure in this dark forebay, deep water forebay, and I guess...
Yeah, that was a concern, like when back in August or September of last year, one of our first site visits out to Cherokee, we saw it was painted white. We had them repaint the interior a darker gray, but I think other facilities too, they use the stainless screens, or they...
But they're deeper.
This is really shallow.
And
yeah.
If I were a fish, I would feel incredibly exposed, like I said earlier. I don't have any hard criteria to place on that. It just was my...
So one thing that would be easy to do would be to put it like a shade cloth over the screen section.
Something that would break it up a little.
Yeah, so we can look into that too. But we know we have some issues with the position in the hydraulics. So let me get into that a little bit too. So initially we were hoping to get it as close to the tower as we could without bumping into the tower and breaking the tower and breaking the PFFC. So we were shooting for about 50 feet from the tower. But because of issues with the mooring system, mostly due to where the anchors are placed and how much chain was used on the anchors, which was not in the design, we're about 160 feet from the tower. And since we're so far from the tower, we're out of alignment with the flow. So going back to, I've taken the USGS plot and sort of turned it around and tried to blow it up here. So here's where the fish are and where the PFFC is, and it doesn't match up perfect to scale here, but going to where we have the anchors. And I think even this, I think the vessel's even further this way and turned to the right even a little bit more. We're kind of at a 90-degree angle to the flow, so we're hoping we can adjust the position of the anchors and turn the vessel so it's facing more into the flow.
Would that be up? Which way was the head of the...
So...
clockwise?
I'm going to use the cursor here just so people on the phone can see. So right now the V-screen is pointed pretty much directly at the island out here.
Okay.
We're hoping to turn it to port.
Okay.
More, so it's facing more towards the dam.
All right.
And more in line with the flow. So this is sort of looking from that island back into the cul-de-sac towards the tower.
Oh, okay.
So when you park at the tower, you'd park up here, and the overlook is over here. You can see, especially as we get to lower pool, the flow really comes in from... in this picture, from right to left. So what we've seen, USGS helped us with some of the hydraulic measurements in the screen section and out in front of it, and they did a dye test. And because of its orientation, we've got a bad vortice on the port side of the screen entrance because the flow is sweeping from port to starboard out in front of the vessel. And then... So some of the numbers on the hydraulics, we're real close to hitting our flow rates, but we're pretty far off on the acceleration criteria and the capture velocity criteria. So part of that, most of that has to do with issues with the porosity control behind the screens themselves. So if we were to look at some of the VFD data from USGS, and you know, my appreciation to USGS for helping us collect this too, it's been really helpful. But ideally what you want with these collectors is smooth acceleration until you're up to capture velocity. And the bottom line here is we don't have smooth acceleration, we have some deacceleration, and we're not even getting close to capture velocity. So that's kind of our primary suspect right now for the collection issues. And we're hoping to get more information from the acoustic cameras to help confirm that.
But the orientation's affecting this too, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? So I think part of what you're seeing here with the deaccelerate, there's a plan view too, you know, coming off the port corner of the screen entrance, we got that vortice because it's not oriented into the flow like it should be. And so here's just a line graph showing the different rates of acceleration. So the gray line is the high flow treatment flow around 100 CFS. The black line is 50 CFS. So, you know, based off of attraction, we would expect to be collecting more fish at the higher flow than we would at the low flow. But we're seeing pretty similar performance rates. And so when you look at the deaccelerations we're seeing here, at the high flow, you know, there's probably fish turning around in the screens. And again, all of these are kind of related. Another thing is the trim. It's sitting so low in the water. We have a greater cross-section area out in front. You know, it's deeper in the water, so that addresses, well, anyways, because it's deeper, we have a greater cross-section, so it's harder to meet the velocity criteria that we were hoping to with capture velocity, especially back at the throat. And so we got the bypass flow to an acceptable level for fish holding, but, you know, because we're sort of cage and rigging it with this ramp, you know, we're not getting the acceleration profile that we wanted, and part of that's related to the trim, so we're investigating ways of that, fixing that too. So biological effects, it's going to be harder to evaluate any of the interim fixes we make right now because we think just the overall chances of catching fish are lower during this time of year based off of the ODFW data. We know that this time of year fish move offshore in much deeper, and some of that is confirmed by the JSATs data too, and the surface temperatures are really high right now. So even if we collected fish, there could be some fish safety factors because of the warm holding temperatures. Again, this is pretty difficult to quantify, you know, how all these different factors relate. And then again, another issue related to the porosity plates. In our October inspection out at Cherokee, out by the airport, we identified some gaps in the porosity plates. They weren't addressed by the contractor, and we think that that's the cause of a vibration, especially at the higher flow. And I have an app on my phone that you can actually measure vibration with. Pretty handy, and the range that I got just from my phone was pretty close to ranges in the literature that are shown to be repulsive to fish. So it's something we want to fix. We're not positive it's an issue, but it's probably not helping things.
So has this contractor been blacklisted?
Or is he fixing this, or what's the status there?
We're hoping to close out the contract by the end of the month.
Be done.
Yeah. There was multiple contractors involved. There's the construction contract and the design contract. So it, you know, in fairness to them too, it was a really tight schedule we were working under too. And there was, I think, too, success was going to be difficult in this contracting structure we were under, just because it was, it had to go through so many different layers. You had a contractor acting as your engineering during construction. They were based in Seattle. And then things here internally had to go through several layers. And you couple that with a really aggressive schedule, you know, things are going to slip through the cracks. So,
so you guys have hopes that if you fix these things, those fish will go in there?
Absolutely.
If you get it back to the original design criteria, if you get the structure functioning like it was a design intent, yeah. But there's also, there's lessons learned that we can apply in the future from things that have happened with this contract, the rush to get it out, the rush to design. I mean, anytime you go through this, we learned this in Afghanistan as well, anytime you speed designs, you push tons of specs and these other issues, you can pay the cost.
Well, okay. Really question whether you're going to get a lot of fish, even if you fix those things.
So other issues, debris, we know it contributes to mortality in the holding area. We put in a debris boom, but it's not ideal. So part of the follow-on work, we're looking to design and install a debris boom similar to what they have at Swift. Predator presence, we've documented it, but we don't think it's a big deterrence to collection. So it's a potential, but I think there's bigger issues. So right now, our highest priority, especially what's feasible to accomplish prior to the fish really wanting to move out in the fall, is to work on the position and orientation. And we're hoping to get that done sometime between mid-September and mid-October. And also, we're going to proceed with a modified fall arm and knee study. That's something I want to talk to you guys about. And then prepare a follow-on contract to do some of the bigger fixes that we can't do, you know, just the Willamette Valley staff or our in-house dive staff. Some of this stuff is going to involve cranes and, you know, be more, much more like a construction contract. So right now we're in the process of writing the scope for that. And then the whole time we're also continuing to operate the facility and identifying other issues.
Maybe I missed it when you were talking about the positioning, that it's 160 feet right now and you wanted the 50 feet. Did you say how close you think you could get it? Or was it more
what did Christy
just
say?
Twisting
I think,
it?
I think we can get it within about 75 feet. We're still working on the new anchor placement. So what we've done is a sector scan bathymetry survey of the cul-de-sac, so we have much more accurate bathymetry now, and we've sent that information to our Marine Design Center on the East Coast, and we're waiting to hear back from them on what anchor positions they think are feasible to get the orientation and the distance we need. So we're not entirely sure.
If they give you some points, is that hard to get those, to do that re-anchoring? I mean, you could get that done by September, October?
That's what we're striving for. Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. You know, so what we're...
It's hard to do just the tilting it? Or is that...
We've already tried working with the anchors we have.
Yeah, and you can't get what you need out of it.
No.
The cables rub against the PFFC. You have to move the anchors in order to rotate it.
Yeah.
And it's finding the anchor locations that are the real challenge right now, which is why we did a new survey to get the bathymetry, and the Marine Design Center, like Dave mentioned, is looking at that information and trying to figure out where can we physically put those anchors, and then they have to do all the calculations. And as for how close to the tower, we don't know yet. There's a certain spot where the power cable rubs up against the cofferdam. And so if you're closer to the tower, it doesn't happen. If you're right at that sweet spot, it happens. And then farther out, it's okay. So we have to kind of avoid that or find some alternatives to, put buoys on the cable or something. There's just a lot of calculations that have to be done to figure out how to do this, if it's possible. We're working against the clock.
Yeah.
To try to award contracts the end of the fiscal year and all that.
Yeah, and so one thing, if the Marine Design Center takes longer to do their analysis, or we run into other contracting issues and it looks like we're not going to get that work done sort of in the early fall, mid-September to mid-October, we might look at combining the anchor movement with the follow-on contract, because it'll save some mobilization costs. One of the issues is so that work would probably only be a week, 2 weeks at the most. So it wouldn't really be too disruptive to the monitoring. But this other work, it could take the facility out for a couple months, and so. We wouldn't want to launch into a full-blown study and then halfway through the study have the facility out of commission for 2 months, while your active tags are running out of batteries, right? So
we're scoping that work concurrently with trying to figure out this contract to move the anchors, so we have the flexibility to either launch on the anchor move if everything lines up, and if it doesn't, we can roll that into this other contract we're putting together for all the other work. Because really, all that work needs to be done this fall and winter if we want to position it for the spring study.
So basically, Noah and their folks are like trying to decide, should I take a vacation? Should I not take a vacation? Am I going to be working? Or am I not going to be working?
Or flexible.
They're working.
So the study will start on Thanksgiving, it'll end New Year's Day.
There you go.
There'll be a problem on Christmas.
Right. Dave?
The next steps you were going through, there were four things, and I didn't catch the last one. Prepare the follow-on contract was three.
Continue to operate the PFF.
Okay.
And identify other issues.
Yeah, so...
Unless you have to take it down to do the follow-on.
Yeah, we wouldn't be able to operate it if we're.
But could you get the follow-on contract to start that early?
So, you can speak to this better than
funding
I can.
Is an issue.
Funding's an issue. Contracting's an issue. What else? Sunspots.
So follow-on work, there's no funding to do it this year. We have to wait till next fiscal year.
Okay.
We need time to scope it, put it together. We have to mod our AE contract for them to help with the design and put the plans and specs together. Then you need to do all the advertisement, award a contract to actually do the work. And so we're really tight on a schedule to do all that, get a contract awarded, and then have a contractor address all the follow-on work and get it all done before spring. So we're working frantically. But the money won't be there to award the contract until next fiscal year.
Do you have an idea how much this follow-on contract is?
Not yet, but we do think we have the resources to award a contract this year to move the anchors. That's why we're moving forward.
Right. With that. So basically the whole issue with the study is it worth doing the study if you don't move the thing first? And can you get the thing moved before the fish need to be there? Because if you're not, leaving it while the fish are there, and then you're screwed.
Yeah.
If you're talking about just the fish study, but if you're also still testing the PFFC.
Yeah, I mean, there's the kind of a refresher is we have the active tag study, mm-hmm. We have pit tag releases, the acoustic camera work, and then the monitoring of the catch. And then also some physical science studies, such as the bathymetry survey we did, and then the hydraulic measurements that USGS made. you know, there's a couple things we're going to try. We're going to take another crack at trying to balance the screens with the system we have, especially if we have some commercial divers on site. We think we can tie the screens together better. One of the things we're doing right now is in order to get a lower level of vibration, is we're having to run at a much wider open porosity than was in the original design. So we're hoping we can mechanically fasten the screens together as an interim measure. So when you do those things, you know, you want some level of monitoring to see if you're making progress. And it's interesting to hear, you know, kind of being in the middle of this, I hear the whole range of opinions on what's affecting collection and whether or not it'll ever work, all the way to, oh, sure, it doesn't matter right now. Just leave it where it is, and as soon as it's fall, it's going to collect the snot out of the fish.
Because of water temperature.
Yeah, I'm definitely kind of in the middle. I really think the hydraulics are playing a big role, since we're so far outside of the design spec. And so that's kind of what I'm emphasizing. But I do think there's value in continued monitoring, especially if we're trying a couple more interim fixes, you know, because if we make small gains in the hydraulics and see that we're doing a better job of collecting fish, then we know that's one area we really want to focus on.
So, Griff, when you say hydraulics, you're talking about the actual entrance of the trap.
Yeah, and the velocity profiles all the way through it.
Okay. The throat. Okay. You said it was 160 feet from the tower.
Yeah.
You think you can get to 75. Where was the original thought to put this? Was that at 160 feet?
50.
50.
And we may be able to get to 50.
Okay.
That's yeah, so we don't know yet. We're waiting to hear from the Marine Design Center on
and
that.
And then the orientation was a problem, too. So.
Absolutely.
It's too low, and it's also the
trim. And it's too, yeah. Too low, in the, yeah, so it's got...
So that all affects hydraulics.
So if you can't get this working efficiently by this fall, are there a bunch of our mini studies that just aren't going to pan out because it's not operating?
Well, I mean, it's operating, it's just not collecting fish, right?
Right. So
I think that's an important discussion we need to have.
Let me rephrase that. Are there a bunch of RMNE studies that aren't going to pan out because this thing doesn't have an ability to collect fish?
So what I'm proposing right now, moving forward, is postponing the active tag study. So we, right now on the books, have a proposal from USGS to do a study similar to what was done this spring. You know, we have the tags. I would say we put the tags on the shelf. If we're ready to rock by spring, then we can tag yearlings. If not, we can tag sub-yearlings in the fall of 15. So I don't think we're ready for I don't think we're gonna. It would be better, given how tight the RM&E budget is, to postpone that active tag study. Now, we're not gonna save as much money as you'd think, but it would be a good chunk of change.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking. I'm not thinking about this from a money but perspective. I'm just thinking. You know, if the PFFC does not collect fish, you know, are your efforts and others' efforts, you know, best directed at solving those problems? You know, and you don't necessarily need to have tagged fish, however they're tagged, to do that.
Exactly.
Because you have an idea, you know. You know what it's collecting right now, and yeah, that's going to change over the year. But you've got data, you know, from several different sources of what you might expect to see moving through it at given times of the year. So, you know, and you've got hydrological modeling and gauging that you can look at. And, I mean, get those problems fixed, and then say, okay, now we're ready to implement these
studies.
Yep, exactly. And that's kind of where we're at. We need to look at the information that's been collected to date and see if we can better assign the issue to any of the list of problems I gave, right? I think we need some baseline level of monitoring to try to get a handle on how much of this is just the biological issue, because, you know, there's some folks out there that think once the reservoir turns over that, you know, we're going to get all kinds of fish because they're going to come up shallower. I don't think that's necessarily true, but I think the level of effort necessary to monitor that is pretty minimal.
What are the JSON fish doing? How deep are they?
How deep are they right now? So I think if you go back to the prior year studies, for this time of year, July and August, I want to say they're like 12 meters deep or something is the median depth. I'll have to look back. I don't remember the
That's
exact number.
Right. Yeah, because the temperatures are warming up, so those fish are seeking refugio down there.
And we know that the surface temperatures right now are, they've got to be at this point with this recent warm weather in the mid-70s. So, you know, going back to, and so I think we need some baseline level monitoring through the fall and winter. Just monitoring the catch, and then a question is whether we continue the acoustic camera monitoring. You know, because if we're able to reorient it, that's going to help solve the vortice issue. What I need to do is dig into the data with USGS and see what we can learn from what's been collected so far. Most of what we've gotten so far is been the JSATs data. But that acoustic camera data can be helpful, especially because we move the camera further into the facility to look at behavior right at the entrance and in the first part of the screen section. We can see if fish are coming in and turning around right where we're seeing some of these deaccelerations. And it's like, oh, well, that helps right there and emphasizing the importance of getting a porosity system that we can control and setting up a better acceleration gradient.
So, Griffin, back in, the original design was the cameras outside and was looking in. We've since changed that. It's now inside towards the weir area, and it's looking out.
It's kind of back here.
It's optimized to capture that area as they're moving into the throat and also look out in front of it so we can see the fish that are passing by it. And we'll also see the fish that are coming in and turning around, and they'll get collected. And we've lowered the other camera to look below the across the opening and below it, the other camera, so we can get some idea of when and if these fish are moving up from depth, and, or if they're just milling around below the entrance because of the temperature issue. So we've modified the sampling design. It also lets us know, looking out, lets us know what the trash boom effect is on fish collection, and we're also able to monitor the predator movement in the area.
Noah, A and B are the high end, or excuse me, low and high flows. Mm-hmm. It says B is actual data. Is A data or just theoretical?
No, those are both data.
Both data.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's all taken with ADB instrumentation, and that's part of, I think, what Griff is recommending, that if you do some tweaks, we could continue to replicate this ADB, work adaptively with the core to monitor the effect of what you do to the crossing plates and or the orientation to the flow. Any sort of change in elevation can also be evaluated with that ADB.
Did you use the cameras to evaluate whether the log boom was having any kind of impact?
Yeah, it's difficult. We can look at that, but with the sample size so low, it's hard to tell when there's so low number of fish to be able to measure any difference between log boom versus non-log boom. We do have some data, work with the core to take it out. So we've got some data and then to put it back in. We're in the process of reducing that data and quantifying it. But again, it's going to be a difference of a handful of fish. Whether it's significant or not, it's going to be difficult to tell. We can at least quantify behavior anyways and take a look at that. We do know that the entrance of Ordesi that you talked about is effectively reducing the size of that relatively small entrance anyways. So we have that Ordesi on the left side of port side. Is that right? Port side. So that effectively reduces that entrance. And then if you put a log across the top, then you're shrinking it this way. So you've really got a small opening. This is real reminiscent if people are familiar with the SBC tests that took place at Lower Granite in the early 90s. They spent tens of millions of dollars, the big curtain, the occlusion on the intakes to concentrate those fish in front of those openings, and they did that well. Core got huge numbers of fish right in front of those entrances, and then they didn't go in because the conditions, the vibration, the noise, the velocity gradients weren't there. So I really do think that if you fix some of these issues, point it right, correct the velocities, get some higher magnitude velocities and some capture velocities in there. I don't know if it's going to be a fish sucking machine, but I do think the numbers of fish will go up.
An FSM.
Another FSM. What letters are left in the alphabet? FSZ is going to be hard.
I recall with the Swift collector. Yeah. They had issues with that boom, and they modified it, and their catch rate went up significantly.
So, yeah, we've been in touch with them. We're going to start our design based off of what they've learned, for sure. That's a great point, Mike. Thanks. Yeah, and again, we've got a meeting once a month as a team, but... really want to work with you guys as much as I can on this, even outside our regular meetings. And any help you can give us is really appreciated. So, great. Any other questions? Anybody on the phone? You guys okay? We put you to sleep. Can you see the presentation?
Yeah, I'm just hanging on every word here, Griff.
Thanks.
Yeah, I can see the presentation fine.
Oh, Fred... One thing I've been meaning to do, too, is follow up with, Tom. Freudian slip there. I've been meaning to follow up with Fred and see what the four-bay monitoring, what sorts of things he saw this year. Would you let him know I'm going to be trying to get in touch with him about that? Or
certainly.
If you have any information you want to share.
I don't have any right now. I spent the last couple weeks editing reports and whatnot, so...
Great.
Thanks, Tom.
So the last agenda item we had...
Can we have a short break?
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless you think this is only 1 minute or something.
No. I forgot we were going to cover we already covered the temperature control.
That's just a danger.
Yeah. We just have to
throw out there. Because someone says, it's only going to be a minute.
We have been down there for 2 minutes.
We're going to take a 10-minute break.
It's only two passes, so...
I'm going to put the phone on mute for you guys.
I don't think Detroit's going to take that long, but it's going to take more than a minute.
Well, let me ask you, too. You sent out a draft, I guess, of standard terms or something.
Yeah.
Whatever you call it.
Yeah. The metrics definition.
Metric stuff. Do you want some feedback on that?
Sure.
Are we doing it here or off?
That's a living document, so.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to email it to me or respond to all on that email.
They took the card.
I got to start. I got to write it up. All I did was draw arrows and diagrams.
Oh, yeah, there was a little one for the
okay.
The men's best.
Okay. And so it's down the
left. Yeah.
Okay.
So the last desk will pass.
Maybe just ask some questions. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, there's some of the terms. I tried to beg, borrow, steal from the Columbia as much as possible, but there's a couple that don't.
This is HMT.
Flip it over.
Okay.
Yeah. So, now, is this going to be a standalone document?
I don't know. Okay. I thought you were putting it
in No. Yeah, but I think it'll also be in the fish operations plan when that comes out.
I was looking at the wrong side.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. You need a list of acronyms like you did for the project for all your acronyms.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's good.
New people could confuse
Sorry, Chad.
People have been around for a while, like me, still don't know.
I thought you were giving me that for...
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, like, I was thinking that, too, with that org chart. Because I've got acronyms there so that they fit in the boxes. Oh, this? Yeah. Can't right now.
He doesn't have an error card. Don't we have Wi-Fi down here, though? Are you, can you see Wi-Fi?
I'm on Wi-Fi.
Okay.
You have a data card?
Yeah.
We just got our first one. You guys have had them for, what, 10 years?
Check that out.
A what?
Whoa. Yeah. We'll have to make an announcement.
We've got a hotspot. She's got a data card.
And the Fish Passage team has a website now.
Are you?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's my phone number?
Yeah, so put his iPhone in a waterproof bag.
What'd you ask?
What's my phone number? You don't need my phone number.
I don't need to know. For you,
I know my phone number.
I don't ever call you. I just shout over the cubicle wall.
I never call myself. That's what it is.
That used to be my number, Fenton. That's your number.
Yeah.
Yeah, tons of them.
Okay.
Cool. And all kinds of archives.
Would it be better to put them on the CD?
No, it's on the LAN.
Oh, it is?
I'll give you the LAN.
Okay.
Does Tammy know where our RME folder and all that is on the LAN?
I don't know. This is Fish Passage Team, man.
Is it in project-wise?
But is it all like in the same Willamette?
Yeah, it's under water.
Columbia River.
Well,
John
Willamette.
The Dalles.
Biop implementation.
It's equally positioned next to our need. They're like this. Yeah. They're just on level. It's not like this. It's just right now. It's like a
Fish Passage Team.
Columbia River. Flagship of the Columbia River.
South
Bend.
That's right.
You're right.
Yeah. What's the bathroom's
place? Science sheet. You had to earn it.
Proof that you attended the meeting.
It's weird.
Okay.
It's a little weird.
Oh, I see.
And then
did.
I had to like stand and stare at the big trough sink. I'm like, I would never want to clean this.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the new design is.
I just don't like there's nowhere you can put like a notebook down.
It's like you drop it in the trough.
And you know, that's the thing with ladies too. We sometimes we might, you know, the way that everything's white in there, you might want to pop it first.
Yeah.
We were not consulted on the design.
Well, I liked it.
It would have been a concrete sink.
I'm just saying, like glass doors on buildings, please never, ever would I put this door.
Well, look how long it took them to put a little shelf there for the markers. They didn't have that before. So the markers were over here.
ASA would ask, why are you adding that? Why wasn't that part of the original design?
That's why you weren't consulting.
Yeah.
Private America knows how cumbersome the federal government is. And I say, yeah, you don't want to stay here, you can move out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even
Yeah, you'd think somebody would think that. I mean, bathroom design's not like a new thing.
Yeah, just so you guys know, it's unmuted now. We're talking about bathroom design.
We
don't know us very well. We don't care.
Tom's going to really.
That's fair. Now I know.
What I'm disappointed in is that your building has changed its toilet paper.
Oh, we got a new leasing company.
Cheaper. I don't like going there anymore.
You've mentioned that before. That really bothers me.
It goes that way.
So it's going.
Yeah. Or did you guys all reset?
Did somebody go the wrong direction?
You did.
Yeah, but hardly any of those guys.
How can I go the wrong direction? It started with me.
Okay.
I can't go the wrong direction. I chose the direction.
I got it a while ago, but I have to iron it.
See, that's because I didn't start it. Because you didn't get your teeth tied off. That's what I did your teeth.
It's routing. It's just not routing properly, right?
It's like herding cats.
It's like those dang fish.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started.
Close it out.
Here we go.
So, real quick update from Fenton on pit tag sites.
Oh, yeah, I just was wanting to let you guys know that we do have the antennas up and running at Upper Bennett and Staten Dam, and they're collecting fish data about, they're seeing approximately 50 fish a day, and this is just rough numbers. And this is from Tom's paired release in the North Sanium, so we're already collecting some data. They're fine-tuning it, but I just want to let the group know that we have those antennas up and running. So we've got the one at Foster, Weir, Staten and Bennett, and I'm moving forward with hopefully some more as we...
Where is it on Upper Bennett? Across
at the ladder and, yeah.
At the ladder?
In the ladder, yes.
In the ladder, and you've seen juvenile fish coming down it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that data going into Patagus?
Yes, it is. And once I get the names, you know, for the stations and all that from ODFW, ODFW is managing it. I'll share it with folks on the team, so if you want to go in Pythagoras and look, because they have the naming convention, I'll get that information.
Yeah, this is Tom, too. Be advised, I haven't received confirmation from Biomark that the North Sanium tag files have even been uploaded yet, so proceed with caution on those.
Roger that, Tom. And Derek, like I said, the data is all preliminary, and Derek Faber, he was out in the field today fine-tuning it, but that was what he told me is, you know, they're getting about 50 tags passing Staten and Bennett. And once we get everything, the bells and whistles fine-tuned, then I'll share the information along with the naming convention for each of the sites.
Okay,
but they are connected remotely to Pythagoras by satellite link, including the Foster.
So, Tom, you said Biomark is uploading those files?
Yeah, as part of their contract with us, they do the initial management of the data where they upload the tag codes, the release locations, the water temperature at release, all that stuff. And then we've also sent them all the shed tags and the tags from Mort's. So they got to go through those tag files and line them out so they're not included as fish at large.
So they're in charge of the tag files.
Yeah.
So the last agenda item is a quick discussion. Well, maybe not quick, but... Quick discussion on the Detroit RM&E for this fall.
And I think it will be relatively quick discussion. What I want to do is give a quick overview. Chris Walker will give an update then on where we're at in terms of operations and forecast, because he's got to be out of here at 3. Mm-hmm. And then we can have a discussion of different implementation strategies. Because what happened on is a couple, little while back, we were looking at the forecast for when we were going to lose the spillway crest at Detroit. And it became apparent a little while back in mid-August we were going to lose spillway crest. As you know, we have a survival study planned for this year, and the primary objective of that survival study was to determine the survival of fish passing over the spillway during temperature control spill operations. Mm-hmm. There were some secondary objectives as well, because we were using double tag fish. We wanted to get detection efficiencies from Upper Bennett, from Staten, and at Willamette Falls with the pit tags. Because we're kind of morphing the paired release study design that Tom's working, where we're trying to get survival estimates from the pit tag fish, in-season survival estimates through Willamette Falls. And so then if our fish, double tag fish, weren't going to get over the crest, there were some potential issues there in release timing. The other complicating factor was is we're rearing our fish for both paired release and the survival study at Marion Forks, which is very cold. Very slow growth, so we were having issues throughout the year on the timing of fish size. So why don't we let Chris give the kind of the forecast and update, and we can talk about how we implement this study this year.
Wait, but I have one question.
Sure.
Didn't you have a spring release, or no? This is a fall release.
The survival study?
Yeah.
This is just a fall release. There was no spring release because we wanted to try and tag as representative sized fish as possible. You know, we're not quite there because, especially with double tagging fish, we were trying to be as representative as we could.
Okay.
We did have a spring, or actually summer, release of pit tag fish only.
Okay.
And so those are the fish that are going through now, and there will be some detection efficiency information for when you've got multiple coils, like we do at Upper Bennett, but there won't be for some locations with just the pit tag fish. For instance, at Willamette Falls. Okay.
Chris.
So we've been discussing how to extend the temperature management operation as long as we possibly can in the North Sandy AM. And the result of that was that we dropped flows to 1,000 CFS last night to extend the operation. However, given we have to increase flows to the minimum biop flow of 1,500 September 1, that only gets us to mid-September in terms of maintaining the spillway crest. So really, under the current forecast, the only way we're going to be able to make it to the end of September is we discuss and implement possibly doing a lower spawning flow after September 1st. So that's something that we'll need to discuss at the flow management team and we need to schedule.
When do you lose the temperature or the spillway if you do follow the spawning flows? You said mid-September.
Yeah, so if we drop it to 1,000, it looks like about September 14th.
If you drop it to 1,000, if you keep it at 1,000...
Sorry, if we keep it at 1,000 until September 1st, it looks like we lose it around September 7th or so. I'm looking at a graph, so I don't have an exact date. If we drop it to 900, it looks like we lose it around September 14th or 15th.
But you have it at 1,000 until the higher flows come in?
September 1st, correct. If we maintain 1,000 CFS through the month of September, that gets us to the end of September in terms of maintaining that spillway.
Okay, so you have a graph. I don't know why. I feel it's kind of frustrating because I've asked over and over again to send me some of this analysis that you guys are doing. And you wrote that summary of the meeting, and there was nothing in there that said, oh, by the way, Stephanie asked about four times for the, you know, information to be sent to
us. I do have a graph, and I apologize. I printed this out literally right before I came to this meeting, as I got a voicemail from Griff saying that he needs...
So hey, how's lunch?
I don't have one for everybody, so I was going to hand one out to you after.
Okay. Thank you. That would be good. I don't know. I mean, I can't say yet. I can't see, you know, giving up those spawning flows for the whole month of September for a study. I know that, I mean, the other piece is to try to calculate, so how does that affect our incubation? And how long will that protract?
And this is exactly why we wanted to bring it to the group, right? We don't arbitrarily make these decisions. It's, you gotta
worry. Well, let's have a lot of transparency. I mean, it's kind of hard to sit on the other end of the phone and have someone say, well, yeah, if you do this, it's, you know, it goes through September, whenever it is, and we're like, oh, but that does include going back up to 1,500, right? And if I hadn't asked that question, I think we might have approved something that we had no idea that's what the proposal was. So, you know, I'm glad we're a little more clear on what the proposal is.
And this, I mean, as we're going, right, we're developing contingency plans. And then you got to weigh the benefit of this study we're doing versus spawning and incubation, which is a major, I mean, so yeah, I mean, those are reasonable questions.
So what do we do now, acting as FPT chair? So we don't have to make a decision today on the September spawning flows, right? Or do we? There's going to be some more discussion.
No, there's going to be a follow-up flow meeting, which okay. is scheduled today, although I wanted to make sure that I know that Stephanie mentioned you'll be out next week.
Yeah.
And Ann will be out or in?
Ann should be in.
Okay. And then I'm not sure about Richard.
Yeah, we don't know about Richard. Okay.
So is there any more discussion related to Harmony or the or Fish Passage?
Well, that I have a question otherwise, about the Harmony piece.
Yeah.
So when was it that you were going to release those?
And so that's what I asked Toby, that's where I was going to go next and get into the actual study design, what we're doing.
Oh, okay, but Chris needs to leave.
Is it 3:00?
Yes. Uh-huh. 2:58.
You're out early.
Thanks, Chris.
Job interview.
draw that graph.
You look nice today, by the way.
Good luck with that job. Don't give me my name. I'm just joking. I'm really joking.
I had you as a reference.
Has on left my the job conference.
I never, bet you didn't get the job.
I did. Did they call?
No.
What kind of reference did you give me?
No, nobody called.
That wasn't Tom dropping off, was it?
No, I'm still here.
Perfect. Anyways, why don't we go through, because we're also, one of the other things we want to discuss, we talked about paired release. Yeah. There's still a paired release study, right, is affected by this as well, because those releases haven't occurred yet. And so we've been planning a fall release, so I want to make sure we touch on that before we return. Right, so the first thing I'd like to do is kind of give let USGS give kind of the tagging schedule, estimates of how long the fish will take to transit the reservoir. And this is a little bit subjective because most of the timing-wise, we haven't been releasing fish at this time. And so that we can estimate when we'll get the majority of the fish over the slope.
Didn't we also have some steelhead that you were going to release this year?
That's what the paired release, and I brought that up. And we're going to talk about that because that's one of the reasons Tom's on the phone.
Oh.
So Tony's already leading along with
So we'll be tagging all the fish starting next Monday. I think it'll take 6 days to do the tagging, so we'll finish up on Saturday the 9th. And so the Detroit Reservoir fish will be released, we're planning right now for Monday at the 11th. Based on previous data sets, so sub-yearlings that were released in May a couple years ago, and some yearlings that were released in September, we've counted the travel rates. We think that the majority of the fish will be down and passing the dam in about 2 or 3 weeks, so somewhere in the 15, 16, 17 day range. And that's actually, we're going to be kind of adaptive with our mental dam or our tail wish, quote unquote tail wish releases. We're going to actually be watching passage at Detroit fairly closely there in that first couple weeks to see when we start seeing a big spike in fish numbers. So it looks like sometime.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but I can't hear whoever's speaking.
Yeah, it's only close to the table. Sorry about
sorry,
that.
Tom, I'm moving up. So it looks like once we start to see that passage peaking, we think somewhere around the 25th of August is when the downstream release would occur. But again, that is kind of based on data that we don't have specifically for fish at this time of the year.
Yeah, because we just like with cougar, we got this warm temperatures, kind of a lull of movement. So what he was estimating there, Tom, and make sure I'm right here, told me is that around the 25th, 26th of August, based on our 11 August release date, we'd start releasing the below Big Cliff release group.
Right. So everybody should be aware that's a bit of a deviation from the releases of the previous groups where we released both above and below dam fish on the same day. So they'll no longer be, paired temporally as they were before. I understand you're going to wait till you think you've got about half the fish going through the dam before you release the other group, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We'd like to have those fish essentially in the tail race at Detroit about the same time. We'd like to have, that's why we're targeting that way.
And this is based on the paired release survival model?
Yep, that's right.
So we don't violate fundamental assumptions about fish mixing.
So just clarifying the terminology there, paired release survival model is the model developed on the Columbia, not the paired release study that we do here. So when you say paired release, it's a statistical model that was developed by University of Washington and on the Columbia, right?
That's used in the Columbia. It's employed elsewhere. And one of the reasons for that change in protocols, as you're aware, Tom, is to start getting survival, relative survival estimates at Willamette Falls using the pit tag fish.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, and one of the things here...
Most of us, when you say paired release, immediately think of Tom's study.
We do.
Well, and one of the things we may be good for, one of the either here or Harmony, is to do kind of a survival study methodologies, because there's multiple ways of doing these survival studies. There's multiple models that are out there. We've got experts in the region, and we're working on this, that we could bring in, because to make sure we're all on the same page of what we're looking at.
Yeah, we're a presentation at the Willamette Science Review as well.
So this is Mark Johnson on the phone. So, and I think we spoke about this before. The change you're proposing there, Bob, would then also we'd lose our ability to measure the effect on timing of migration, right? The rate of migration down. Wouldn't that be right?
I wouldn't think so. Yeah, I mean, you're still going to have, in fact, you're going to be able to better assess it because you've got active tank fish intermixed with your solely pit tank fish.
So you're releasing the fish at different river flows, and so they're being released under different conditions, right? And so you wouldn't be able to assume, so the timing of migration would then be measured under different conditions.
It is. Right? I mean, you know.
You mean between the regular paired release group and this group?
So you can't measure it. You can't measure the delay effect of the reservoir when you release the two groups at different times.
Is that one of the objectives of the study?
Yeah, I believe it is.
I thought it was the relative returns to Willamette Falls from the two release groups was the study intent.
Well, but you know they're passage timing at Detroit because their JSAT's tagged, right?
Yeah, so we'll get the delay.
So they would, you would know how long they spent in the reservoir, which you can't get with the pit tag fish.
And because you've got,
you surmise it based off of differences between the tail race group and the head of reservoir group, but you don't know where that head of reservoir group resided.
So the two groups are going to be comprised of about 10,000 pit tag fish and about 1,700 for the Minto releases of JSAT's tag fish. So we will have a pretty good mix of the two for both release dates.
I guess I'm kind of concerned about, you know, the release in August, if that's really a very representative time, you know.
So one of the earlier pit tag releases was in August of larger fish for some of the reasons we've discussed with tagging and logistics.
At Detroit?
First year we did it in the North St. Anne, we released them in August.
And they moved right out? You didn't have any problems?
Well, yeah, I mean, some of them did. Some of them didn't come out till the next year.
And keep in mind, too, you know, when you apply these results to the population that's already been in the reservoir since emergence, you know, the growth rates are quite a bit more in the reservoir than they are at Marion Forks. So if we repeat the study, you might look at, you know, developing a surrogate for this study outside of the Marion Forks.
And you're going to the paired release, right? With the pit tag paired release study, correct? You say repeat?
Well, even there, you know, when we release those fish, they're smaller than the fish that are already in the reservoir, I believe. It'd be something to look at, and I think you could look at Fred's run-a-river fish that he captures in the reservoir and see if your fish are quite a bit smaller.
That's what we wanted to do. We had some issues with growth.
But you're going to be high-grading a little bit, right? So it might be closer.
So what's the question here? Do we does it make sense to go ahead and release this group? You expect to get most of them out by late August. So you'll still have the spill. I mean, what I thought initially the question was, if we lose the spillway, there's no point in doing a survival study.
Well, that we could have done other alternatives as well. We could not have double-tagged the fish, given up some of the objectives on detection efficiency down below, so you could have tagged smaller fish with your active tags. I mean, there's different things, but as the train moved here, we've got more time now than we initially thought we had. And then, just making sure we better with the region, what's happening here. Try and be transparent as possible. And make sure you buy into what we're doing, or you might have a better idea of how to conduct it.
I mean, we are estimating that's going to be about half the fish by then, so there are another half that will continue to pass after the place.
Right.
And so if you start losing the crest after that, then you start, those are the fish that you might keep in the reservoir, right?
I thought I heard a mid-September loss date.
When you lose the spillway.
So you got another 2 weeks after that. Right.
And this also is dependent, there's some decisions that have to be made with how much flow levels, right, spawning and incubation flows, you know, how we do, there's some balancing that has to be done.
What portion of the run do you think would be passed by mid-September?
You know, I don't know that we've looked that far ahead because we've been using this August 18th date as kind of our target. You know, we've been hoping that, you know, by the end of August that we can get somewhere around 500-550 fish out. We could go back and we could do that for a couple more weeks and see. But again, it's all going to be kind of based on these run, you know, passage distributions, which we don't know how any of those are going to be. So we can make some guesses. I think we'd have two things that would be useful. We can look, kind of project ahead using existing data, but also once these fish go out on August 11th and we start monitoring real-time passage, we'll sometime around the week of the 25th, we'll have a lot better idea if these run timing and passage distributions are actually going to match up and kind of project for how many fish might be passing in the next week or two.
I think we also get an effect on our survival estimate based on sample sizes that we get. Yeah.
So
that does.
Yeah, exactly. But that's really the whole goal of trying to maximize this fill opportunity, is just get as many tag fish as we can to minimize the actual error in our estimate. So, but we can definitely do that.
So what variables do you cover in your estimate as far as fish work? Is it water temperature, flow, hours of light per day? What?
For the survival estimate?
Well, I thought you were talking about the timing of the fish to get down there.
So all we've been looking at is just kind of bulk releases. So we haven't been looking at any cobra rays in terms of that.
I don't know if they can dig at that time of year, but think about it.
Okay, so I'm missing large parts of that conversation again.
Sorry about that.
So let me throw something out then. What then is the point of releasing the pit tag only fish along with the active tag and pit tag fish for this exercise? Because you're only going to have active tags in a small portion of each release group.
Well, I think when we looked at it, we wanted to compare the double tag fish to the pit tag fish, right?
Well, yeah, double tag fish.
If you see a big difference in your pit detection rate for your JSATS tag fish, than the pit tag only.
Right, due to tag burden and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, there's no protection.
Okay, well, the reason I liked this to begin with was because we could compare it to the group a couple years ago that we released at a larger size, but they were on the same day, so I'm trying to figure out how we're going to make that comparison useful worth releasing at different times. It'll be okay for the SAR stuff, but for the detection at Willamette Falls, it's going to be a little different, because like Mark said, they're going to be experiencing slightly different river and weather conditions.
Okay. Do we want to move then to the steelhead discussion, Tom?
Sure, that's fine. I guess I'm not sure if my point was discussed very much after I made it. So
okay, well, no, I'm not trying to cut it off and move forward. I'll let the group. My thoughts were more in the future when we're doing survival. Now that we've got these detection locations at Upper Bennett and Staten, we can start using the pit tag paired release study to generate survival estimates. You don't have to use active tags. Mm-hmm. We can use the kind of a new study design, a morph study design. This is really powerful information at this location.
I'm not arguing that. That's a huge improvement. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to use that previous large group that we released.
Well, we're going to, when those fish start returning, we're going to compare those groups, right?
Yeah, in terms of SAR, they're comparable.
I think what Tom's asking is, he's got a group of pit tag only fish he wants to release at the head of the reservoir, and a group of pit tag only that he wants to release at the tail rings at the same day. There's nothing precluding him from doing that. Toby's only going to release the JSAT tag fish in the tail race, but his JSAT tag fish across Detroit.
And the point I made earlier is, if you want to do a pit tag paired release survival study, that's not the way you do it.
Because you're violating the assumptions. You got to mix those as they come through the facility.
So I understand what we're arguing here. I'm not sure that I mean there's...
Do we have enough fish to do both?
Yeah, I guess I'm missing what you're gaining by doing the releases at the same time.
That's where I'm at, too, though.
Yeah.
So the reason that the original study design was that way is we're trying to compare head of reservoir collection and transport to letting fish pass through the reservoir. And so, you know, if you were to, ideally, you'd use like parental-based tagging, because then you could release fish at the same exact time they enter the reservoir and the same size as little 30-millimeter pipsqueaks. But obviously, what type of technology you use is limiting the size. And where the point of measure was when we started using pit tags was returning adults to Willamette Falls. It wasn't a juvenile survival study. And the reason you'd release them at the same time is that emulates what you'd be doing in the real world with a head of reservoir collector. You wouldn't hold on to those head of reservoir collect fish until you think some fish are passing.
Yeah, makes sense. That's just a different objective. Right?
So, yep.
So if the objective change, you've got to change the methodology.
Right.
So then what criteria are you using as a trigger to release the second group?
So we're going to monitor passage at Detroit essentially daily, and we're going to try to release that tail race group when we think about half of the reservoir release fish have passed the dam. So again, our target's around about 700 total fish past the dam. So when we get to a point where we think about 350 tagged fish have passed Detroit, that's when we'll try to get those fish released. Now we're going to, you know, based on coordinating with your guys there at the hatchery to get that release done, we'll probably have to pull that trigger a little bit early. So I'm guessing when we see a couple hundred, 250 fish pass is when we'll start coordinating that.
Okay.
Anything else?
So do we want to jump to steel now if there's nothing else in that?
Sure, we can go to steel.
Thanks, Doc.
So I guess I think what the conclusion, though, is that we are going to do the bigger pit release, but release them at the same time we're releasing the JSATs control fish. Is that right? Or are we going to do what Scott had said a minute ago?
I think right now, and we can follow up with this.
Okay.
But the study intent, as I was tracking this year, was to do the tail race control release group, pit tag, and the active tag with this group right now at the same time.
Okay.
And I think the important thing as far as decision making is after Monday morning, those, you know, right now the plan is to acoustic tag those fish and mix them back in with the pit tag fish. So, you know, if that's going to change, we need to know by Monday at 8 a.m. because otherwise those fish will be tagged and mixing them in with the tag.
That'd be problematic.
So I asked this before and nobody answered. There's not enough fish to divide it into two release groups?
Well, I don't know if Tom will have enough to do, you know, power to detect what he needs if you minimize that sample size. Because obviously the sample size has been based on, you know, the 10,000 has been based on what he needs for adult returns at Willamette, right?
So correct on that, Tom?
I had no idea what was said, so I don't know.
Your sample size was based on the numbers of adults you need returning to Willamette Falls. That was the objective that the sample size was based on, correct?
That the current release groups of 10,000 each?
Yes.
Released on, or based on?
So maybe the question right before that was, is it possible to break those 10,000 fish groups into 5,000 fish groups?
Well, I'm guessing probably not. If you guys want to compare active tag versus pit tag fish, there's probably not enough. And if you start getting down to just a few thousand fish, I don't think it's worth it.
So do we want to move to steel? Now, people are looking for what the data is on this. I thought this had already been coordinated. I thought we'd agreed already that that's the way this study was going to be conducted.
Yeah,
I don't remember. I can't remember. Sorry.
Well, actually, these active tag fish are an add-on of the paired release study that was worked out kind of after the fact. So, no, I didn't know that's the way they were going to be released until I talked to Beeman a couple of weeks ago. I kind of assumed all along they'd be released on the same day.
We did multiple coordination calls with Greg Grunbenner on fish eyes, on different things that we worked through. We talked about release, how long it would take to release fish. I thought this was all coordinated. My apologies.
So I guess I'm not clear. Is this like totally killing another project altogether? Or
no, it's not, to be honest. It just reduces the usefulness of an earlier group that we released because I wanted to try to maintain consistency with how we were releasing the fish throughout the current paired release project. So it's just one release that happened 2 years ago, I think. There were large fish released late, and I thought this is an opportunity to just make a little bit more out of that data. From the get-go, we didn't want to release fish that large or that late, but as like I said, the logistics of the hatchery and the growth kind of prevented us from doing the 65-millimeter fish in the late spring.
Well, you got to balance. I think you got to balance that with using a survival model method that's appropriate. You know, because that was a completely different release year too. So, you might have interannual effects confounding things as well. But that's a good point. I think we should really move on to steelhead, just because we're already 20 minutes over. Maybe you guys could work out the details and get back to the group with the final release plan.
Which we'll all have to reply Friday.
Okay. Sounds good. So, steelhead.
Tom, tell what you're waiting for.
Well, yeah, Tom, you want to give a quick overview, or I can, whatever you want.
Yeah, so we've got steelhead, surrogate winter steelhead at Marion Forks Hatchery that are waiting to be released as paired releases for the first time this year. There's not that many of them. I think our proposal said 7,000 fish release groups. I don't think there's quite that many there. But anyway, it's less than 10,000 per group. They've already been fit tagged, and I think the only issue really up for discussion is release date. In our proposal from last year, we have November of 2014 as a release date. So we've based that on timing of fish from Fred's work in not the North San Yam, but the South San Yam, so it's a little fuzzy. The alternative that I think the Corps has talked about is doing a spring release instead, when the fish can actually get out of the reservoir. And it's wide open for discussion. I don't know exactly how large these fish are going to be by November, and that plays into it. I assume they're going to be full-on smolt size, like 130 to 150, somewhere in there. If we want to emulate what the naturally produced fish in the next closest basin, the South San Yam, which we accept as differences between the north, if we want to emulate that timing, then it looks like the appropriate release would be somewhere between September and November, based on Fred's data.
And if we release in September and November, as we know, we're releasing into a reservoir with passage routes. Now, one of the important questions, I think, too, is, Tom, is historical run timing. I think we had a lot of two-year-old spring migrants for the steelhead.
Yeah, leaving the sub-basins, historically, they should have been about 85% age two smolts, correct?
So getting back to like we were before, trying to be as representative of the conditions out there as possible.
But what you said, Fred said, Fred sees them coming in to Foster Reservoir in November, September.
Well, he sees Omicas coming in during pretty much every month of the year, yeah. But the vast majority of age ones looks to me like they start coming in June and they're done by November. Then there's another group of presumably H2 fish that are
200 millimeters or so that do come out in April and May.
Mm-hmm. Is it just fewer? Is that just a smaller?
Much fewer.
Yeah, much fewer fish. So my preferred option is to take our best guess at what we think the natural timing of Omicus into Detroit reservoir would be and copy that, rather than releasing fish at a time we know they're more likely to leave the reservoir because of operations.
Well, and there might be more than one answer, right? Because you have two different watersheds with different hydrology and water temperatures and habitat conditions. Because if you look at the South Sandian data, the fish that they saw passing the evaluator at Green Peter, it was a spring migration, which doesn't match up at all with what Fred sees at the head of Foster, and that's within the subbasin, highly variable run timing.
Yep. And I guess I'd say that most of the smolts that we saw passing Willamette Falls during our genetics study was April, May, June, but we have no idea what, you know, how they resided in the basin prior to that point.
So were they age two then, or were they?
I would guess so, wouldn't you, Mark?
Yeah, on? I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's Fred seen with his pit tags? He's detected some at Willamette Falls.
Yeah, he has. I've got his report open, but I may have to get back to you on that. Nope, actually I found it. Most of the fish that they tagged in the South Sandian Basin passed Willamette Falls between April and early June.
And were those same fish passing Foster at that time, or were they fall migrants out of Foster?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay, now, so the graph I'm looking at actually has both the date tagged and the date detected, and they're pretty much overlapping. They were tagged March through June and detected at the falls, say, late April through June.
Okay. Well, it could be the fall migrants haven't smolted yet, too, they're rearing, because he just started the pit tagging last year.
Yeah.
So now this decision, though, isn't as time-sensitive as the last discussion we had.
That's true. We got months, so.
Well, if you put them in the fall and they don't have a good way out, I mean, won't you get information on the ones that do pass in the fall and then the ones that pass in the spring?
The ones that stay hold over pass
yes.
next
yeah.
spring.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, I know the release groups are smaller, but.
Yeah, that's a good point. Those late Chinook that we released in Detroit, we didn't expect them to come out, and quite a few of them actually did at very low discharge.
Is there any Omicus catch in the head of reservoir Detroit and Brighton Bush traps?
Say again?
For the resident rainbow population above the reservoir?
Yeah, not much to speak of. We've been electrofishing up there for the last couple months, and cutthroat outnumber Omicus by about 100-1 from what I can tell. I'll ask Fred about the trap data, though.
Okay.
Looking forward to sea runs.
Cool.
Yeah, good luck with that.
So should we follow up on this one? Should we? I've got the action item for the last one. Maybe this one, Tom, we can discuss and kind of give the alternatives to the group and provide a little more data to people.
Yeah, and one thing I'll do is talk to Chris and see how big those fish are now and how big we expect them to be in by November.
You bet. Critical.
Yeah.
And then also we could estimate for the spring.
Yeah.
So August meeting? Chat about that?
Is that good with you, Tom?
Yep, good with me.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. So real quick before we go, do you guys want to meet here again next month? Do we want to go somewhere else? And then how about September?
Well, this is really nice this time of year.
Yeah. I know that for the core, with all the PMs and everything, they prefer to meet here.
This is
so
fine.
I'm kind of stuck
like
in the middle on this.
I like to sit in the 10th, 11th floor.
15th floor.
You know what it is you exposed us to your building in its worst state. And so now when we come here, we're like, we love this.
that was the idea.
Yeah.
If you put some refreshments over on that table,
we
even better.
Yeah. Next meeting.
Next meeting.
How about a...
It almost looks like a wet bar.
Yeah.
That's a cocktail party.
All right, all right. Come on, guys. We got to get out of here. So next month, here or away?
Is it the 26th?
Could also
here.
Be a clock month sometime. I'd be happy to check.
Okay, I'm going to assume, since I'm not hearing anything here...
I said here.
Okay. Thank you. So that would be... Yes, the 26th. So I will try to reserve this here. Right now it looks like we have a solid half day. If anyone has any other agenda items, please let me know as soon as possible. This room itself, I can only reserve for 3 hours. So
could someone
I don't know if we could do
another 3 hours.
Well, yeah, they could reserve it.
All right,
yeah, we'll tag team and reserve it then.
Yeah.
Let's not. Don't put that in the notes.
We'll find a way around.
September the 30th. How about either?
It's the 30th.
No.
So
August is.
No, I know. It's the last.
Yeah,
the last.
Last Tuesday.
My mind keeps thinking it's the 4th and not the last.
So the 30th of September, how about either Salem or Corvallis? How's that sound?
Last day of the fiscal year. Let's get out of here.
Okay, so I'll work with Tom on the September meeting. So for the next meeting, we're going to have a 1 hour discussion on foster downstream passage evaluation criteria. Cougar Fish Passage Team / COP discussion on replacement. That'll probably only be about 15 minutes. That was a joke. Then perhaps the for Detroit, we might be discussing the 90% or no, high head bypass, sorry. 90% report. So that's almost 3 hours right there. What else?
Steelhead.
Steelhead discussion. Anything else that I missed? That's what you got? Okay.
You know what's over? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Have you mentioned anything about the land pre-show number?
Yep.
And is that going to be discussed on disposition?
Yeah, we were wondering where you guys were at in coordinating that.
So the last I had heard was Lamprey made it to the end of the ladder, but didn't make it into the pre-sort.
Yes.
And by the time we got guidance to put them above Minto, they weren't there anymore.
Okay.
So.
But now we know what to do.
But
okay.
There were a bunch of them at Bennett, presumably heading up, so they may show up there. But we know have a place to outplant them.
There. Yeah, so they'll go above Minto with the current guidance.
I just wanted to make sure that was...
Anything else on the phone or in the room? Not bad, only a half hour over.
Not bad.
I appreciate everyone calling in.
No problem.
We're gonna tap out here. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks,
see y'all.
You know what's a really nice conference room? When I was at the summit room, there's another one when you walk straight instead of going.
Yeah.
Right, you can see the river. Yeah.